ഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീലപ്രഭുപാദ കീ ജയ. ഓം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീലപ്രഭുപാദ കീ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദ കീ നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കീ അയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ കീ ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാന കീ വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കീ മായപൂർ ധാം കീ മധുരപുരി ധാം കീ ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാം കീ ദ്വാരകാ പുരി ധാം കീ ഹനുമായി കീ ഹനുമായി കീ തുളസി ദേവി കീ ഭക്ത ദേവി കീ സാമവേദ ഭക്ത വൃന്ദ കീ ഓ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോഹരദേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനേവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോ സമജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷു വിദ്യസ്വരാൻ തേനെ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാന്യാസ്യേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹോരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുമേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഭാവ പുത്രേതിരന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേത് കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളമേണുക്കുണിതാതൃതാനരേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാമ്പുരാരേ മധുരീം കനികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം
पादरेणुमभीष्टशः व्यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं विराजितचक्रशङ्गं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं प्रतिभावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासनां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमद्राधिकाये नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
Skandam, chapter 11. In chapter 10 and 11, Krishna talks about the tattum. Tattum, Krishna discussed there. And then at the end of that, which he has already completed in verse number 21, where Krishna said that evam jitnyasaya apohya nanatu brahma malmani uparameda virajam manu mayarpya sarvage. He says, by the tattva chinta, in other words, on the truth, what Krishna has presented to us, in that chapter 10 and 11, Krishna says, deliberate on that tattvam and come to the realization. That's why that was spoken in depth in chapter 10 and 11. Two chapters Krishna spoke the tattvam. After that, Krishna said that if that is not possible, if one cannot do that, then yadyanisho dharaidam mano brahmani nishchalam, that somehow or the other execute the Vedic injunctions, karma, based on the Vedic injunctions, and in that way, without expectation of any results, without any expectation of results, if one executes, it will improve his consciousness. In other words, he will achieve a certain purity in his mind. He will attain purity and chitta shuddhi, as it is mentioned there. And that will please Krishna, and that in turn will develop bhakti and qualify for the realization of the truth. If that is not possible, Krishna says, hear about my pastimes and study the Krishna's activities. And in due course, it will develop an attachment when there is some purity inside. Yatha yadalma parimrjadeso valkarma ghada shravanabhidane tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam. Krishna says, as you keep on hearing about Krishna, what will happen? Yatha yadalma parimrjadeso valpunya ghada shravanabhidane. When one hears about the transcendental activities of Krishna with his attention, when the Shravana Samskaram or the hearing Samskar develops in a person, Krishna says, Tadha Tadha Pashyadi Vastu Sushmam. One should be able to see the Vastu. Vastu means really you are talking about the realization, the absolute truth of the realization, the absolute truth, which is Sushmam, which is very subtle. Tadha Tadha Pashyadi Vastu Sushmam. Krishna says, it will start developing inside. The realization of the truth will come to him. It will be revealed to him from inside by Krishna's arrangement. That's what he said. Then he said, after that, that if all these things are not possible, Krishna says, if none of these things are not possible, develop bhakti. Bhakti as the final solution to the problem. And how to develop that bhakti, the bhakti, how will bhakti will develop? Uddhava asked that question. Krishna answered that development of bhakti is only possible, the easiest process, easier than any other process. Krishna gives importance to association. Association with the Mahatma, that is what is given. Krishna says there, association with great souls, that will develop bhakti in a person. That is the quickest way to develop bhakti in a person. So that is what Krishna said that in verse 25. Sat sangalabdhaya bhaktiya maimamyova asidaha savaive darshinam sadvi anjasa vindade padam. Because through satsangam, they will not forget me. They will not forget me. That is the power of satsangam. Krishna, you won't be able to forget Krishna. And it becomes a continuous continuous thoughts goes after Krishna. And it will be very difficult to come out of it. Krishna's words. So with that, Krishna stops and Uddhava asks the question in three verses, 26, 27 and 28, was Uddhava's questions to Krishna. Uddhava asked, as you said that, if satsangam, association is the cause for development of bhakti, how do I identify with whom I should associate? How do I know with whom I should associate? And what is the type of bhakti I should be looking for? What is the development? How does the bhakti manifest in a person? These two questions Uddhava has asked there. Sadhusta uttama shloka madagi drugida prabhavo bhaktisto yubayujjena kidrashi sadbhira adrata enami purushadhyaksha logadhyaksha jagal prabhavo pranadaya nirektaya prapendaya jakathyanam tvam brahma paramam vyoma purusha prakrite paraha avadirnosi bhagavan svechopata pratakvabhu. So Arjuna, Uddhava has addressed Krishna that jagadadhyaksha purushadhyaksha jagal prabhavo Logadhyaksha Jagal Prabhu, that as the Supreme Truth, Absolute Truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no one else who is more qualified to talk about this to me. And he also said, Tum Brahma Paramam Yoma Purusha Prakrite Para, you are that Supreme Brahman present here. And Prakrite Para, beyond this material nature. And Svechobhata Pratak Vapu, one who has accepted a body, whichever form he wants, according to the time and circumstances, he can make the decisions only for the benefit of the devotees. So after this, now these are the things which Uddhava has asked. And in reply to that, Krishna spoke, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. From now on, Krishna is talking about the qualities of a devotee, which we have seen. Kribalu, Agradadroha, Tidishu Sarvadehina, Satyasaro, Anavadhyatma, Sama Sarvobagaraga. That was the first verse on that. Then Kamai Ahadirdhanda Mrudu Shuchi Akinchana Aniho Vidhamukshanda Stiroma Charanomini Apramato Gabir Alpa Dhridiman Janashal Guna Amani Manana Kalpo Maitra Kairudiya Kavi. All these are the qualities of a devotee. These are the qualities of a devotee. Krishna has spoken about that. We have discussed that before. Then after that, in verse 32, Krishna says, Ajnayayivam Gunan Doshan Mayadishtan Abhiswagan Dharman Sandhinjaya Sarvan Mam Bhajedasa Sattama. There Krishna says that Ajnayayivam Gunan Doshan. Ultimately, one who does not think too much about this Gunam and Dosham, what is right and wrong, but who is completely surrendered unto me, taking Krishna as the complete shelter, and one who has surrendered to me in that way, he says, Dharman Sandhinjaya Sarvan Mam Bhajedasa Sattama. He is the best among the devotees. He is one, the best devotee who has totally taken my shelter. This is the same thing like in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says exactly the same thing, isn't it? Sarvadharmam Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvavamebhyo Mokshayishyami Vashyacha. So the same message Krishna repeats here again. It's the same essence, it is the same thing, spoken in a little different words, that's all. So you can see in bhakti process, surrender is important. Sharanagati, surrender is the most important thing in bhakti. In jnanam process, Shraddha is important, the seriousness of the person. So either of the processes will not happen unless proper surrender happens in the devotee, or if he has a serious Shraddha in the case of a jnani. ആക്ച്വലി ജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് ഭക്തി ആർ നോട്ട് ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ്, ദ ആർ വൺ ദ സെയിം. ദി പ്രോപ്പർ ഡിവോട്ടി വിൽ ഹാവ് നോളജ് ആൻഡ് പ്രോപ്പർ ജ്ഞാനി വിൽ ഹാവ് ഭക്തി. ദർ നോട്ട് സെപ്പറേറ്റഡ് ഈച്ച് അതർ. ജ്ഞാത്വാഥയോ വൈ മാം യാവാന്യശ്ചാസ്മി യാദൃശാഃ ഭജന്ത്യനന്യഭാവേന തേ മേ ഭക്തതമാമദാഃ. Without whether they know me as the supreme personality of Godhead, absolute truth, or not, it doesn't matter. Krishna says, somehow or the other, if they are taking my shelter and they serve me, they bhajan, they perform bhajana, bhajan the ananya bhavena teme bhakta tamamadha. One who is considering that I am their soul, Krishna is our soul. And in that relationship, fully understanding our relationship with Krishna, one who serves Krishna in that consciousness, he says he is the best devotee. Then from now on, from verse 34 onwards, Krishna is going to talk about the 8 verses. He is going to talk about how to develop that bhakti. Malingavad bhakte janan darshan sparshan archanam. പരിചര്യാസ്തുതി പ്രഹ ഗുണകർമാനുകീർത്തനം. സോ മല്ലിംഗ മദ്ഭക്ത ഭക്തജന ദർശന സ്പർശന അർച്ചന. ദൻ വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ഡെയ്റ്റി വേർഷൻ. ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ വെൻ എവർ യു സീ ദോസ് ഹു ആർ വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ, വെൽ ബൈ സീയിങ് ദം, ബൈ ടച്ചിങ് ദം, ബൈ വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് ദം ആൻഡ് ബൈ സെർവിംഗ് ദം, ഗ്ലോറിഫൈയിങ് ദം and offering your respects to them and also glorifying Krishna's qualities and pastimes. All these things is a part of the process. Mallinga bhaktajana darshana sparshana archanam parijariya stuti praha gunakarmanu kirtanam. Then malkatha shravane shraddha madanu dhyanam uddhava sarva labhopaharanam rasi almanivedanam. Krishna says here that seriousness, shraddha in hearing about Krishna, and madanudhyanam uddhava, and meditating on Krishna's form, and sarvalabhopaharanam, everything what is dear to him, offering that to Krishna, and always remembering, thinking, always conscious that he is a servant of Krishna. In that consciousness, he is offering everything to me all the time. That is a symptom of a devotee. Malkada shravane shraddha madanudhyanam uddhava സർവലാഭോപഹരണം ദാസ്യേ ആത്മനിവേദനം. ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ദൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹി സേസ് മജ്ജന്മകർമ്മകഥനം മമ വർമാനുമോദനം ഗീതതാണ്ഡവവാദിത്രം ഗോഷ്ഠീ വിർമൽ ഗൃഹോത്സവാഹ. ദാറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദ സെയിം ടൈം ഗ്ലോറിഫൈങ് അബൌട്ട് കൃഷ്ണസ് അപ്പിയറൻസ് ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദി ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് ടൈംസ് ഒബ്സർവിംഗ് ദം. And how Gita Tandava Vaditra Goshtibhir Man Grihol Sava. That with songs, with plays, with drama, and by drums, and by arranging discussion about the various shastras in relationship with Krishna, and performing, executing the festivals, Krishna's festivals, like Janmashtami, Govardhana Puja, Ramadhami, and all other important festivals like that, all executed with seriousness. And also, an opportunity to give to everyone to remember about Krishna. That is considered to be also a service to Krishna. Generally, the temples, when they are built, there are spoken in the Shastram that the temples have certain things which makes the temples strong, the temple worship strong. Acharya tapasa, that means the people who are involved in the deity worship, their tapasa, how much they are genuinely absorbed in Krishna service. That means the seriousness in their spirit, in their service, in their Krishna consciousness, that seriousness in them. Acharya tapasa. Amnaya japam, chanting the Vedic mantras or the holy name also included in that. So, Acharya Tapasya Amnaya Japam. Then, after that, we talk about Niyamam. How seriously we follow the rules and regulations in the temple. That is another important thing. Then the next one is Ulsavam, the festivals in the temple. How seriously, how very nicely we celebrate them. And apart from that, last one is giving prasadam, annadanam. So all these five things makes a temple worship very serious, and also it will be beneficial to the whole community if the temple worship is executed with all these five important factors. What are they? Among them, or also out of the five, the first one is Acharyopasanam, Acharya's tapas. The tapas means is just the people who are absorbed in the deity worship. They have to have the highest caliber and seriousness in spiritual life. Otherwise, it won't happen. If it is done like a job, it will be like a job for life. Nothing will happen. Deity worship is not a job. It's one of the most spiritual activity. If it is executed in that proper understanding and with that seriousness, the tapasya, what is involved behind that, that is what makes the deity's presence there stronger. Not by our, just because we got a deity from Jaipur, nicely painted and decorated everything and kept it there, it will remain like a doll. It won't have any potency. The potency won't manifest, and potency is manifesting in the sense how it benefits everyone who comes to the temple. They should feel relieved from the distresses, from the material life, and also feel that spiritual inspiration to approach the deity and to surrender to the deity. That depends on the Acharya Tapasya. The Tapasya, what is executed by the people who are executing the deity worship, their Tapasya, Acharya Tapasya. Simultaneously, along with that, the important factor is Amnaya Japam. Amnaya Japam means Veda Mantra. That means all the Vedas are recited. Generally, in the temples, big temples, they do. They recite the Vedas for the pleasure of the deity. Vedas have come from Krishna. Krishna likes to hear that they are survives in this world, and those who are taken to the study of the Vedas, they are meant to recite these Vedic mantras in the deity worship. Even chanting the holy name is also a part of that process. Similarly, Krishna also says here, following the rules and regulations strictly. These are done only to increase our shraddha, the seriousness in worship. Otherwise, if there is no rules, no regulations, we will do what we like, what suits us. That should not happen. That's why so much literature written on the deity worship. Vaidhyam, Tantrikam, Misham. Three types of deity worship processes we will be discussing in chapter 28 later. So there you will see Krishna's instructions on deity worship. So deity worship, actually, if it is executed properly, Krishna says it's very pleasing to me. Krishna loves a proper deity worship. Then he says that Yatra Velivithanamja Sarva Varshika Parvasu Vaidigi Tantriki Diksha Madhya Pradadharanam. Then all the Yatra Velivithanam Puja Sarva Varsh Velivithanam means it's puja. The puja is performed. Like some places there will be five times the worship is done, some places very opulently seven times it's done. Some places they may not have the facility, so they may do it for three times a day. Like that, in different temples, according to one's capacity. Only important thing is, once it is started, it should only progress. You should not increase it and then decrease it because you don't have the people to do the service. That should not happen. That is important. In deity worship, it should always be improve the standards, get better day by day. And that is very important. And then, he also says here, Vaidigi Tantriki Diksha Madhya Vradadharanam. That Tantrikam and Vaidhikam, these Diksha should be taken from them by them while executing the deity worship. Tantrika Diksha or Vaidhika Diksha. Vaidhikam and Tantrikam, what is the difference between the two? Vaidhikam is based on mantra. Tantrikam is based on tantra. What is the difference between mantra and tantra then? Isn't it? That also. All the Vedic mantras which were used in the Vedic sacrifices. In the Vedic sacrifices, the system is you make ahuti to the fire. Fire, everything is offered, isn't it? All the grains, fruits, ghee, everything goes into the fire. That is Vaidhikam. Tantrikam is you are able to offer it to the deity and take it back. In other words, it is not completely gone. It comes back to you as prasadam. So there is a basic difference between Vaidikam and Tantrikam. In Vaidikam, everything goes into the fire and it's gone. In Tantrikam, you can get it back and it offers to the deity a particular form of the deity. Every deity, while installed, there are dhyana mantra, the particular form. When the deity was installed, the sage who has installed the deity, he may have given certain understanding or the certain conclusions on the deity. It should be worshipped in this particular form. And Moola Mantra, the mantra related to the particular deity, will be given. And the pujari is supposed to worship the deity in that way for many, many years before he gets that steadiness in his service to the deity. So, Vaidikam, Tantrikam. Some place it is generally a mixture of both, Vaidikam and Tantrikam. And sometimes that also can happen. So, deity worship involves, it's a big science, and therefore we have detailed literature on the deity worship, written by great, great sages and great devotees who have compiled great literature. Yatra Balividhanam Ja Sarvavarshaya Parvasu Vaidiki Tantriki Diksha Madhiya Vratadharanam. That pujaris, or especially those who are executing the deity worship, they have to be very austere in their needs for the body. The system normally is that householders, sannyasis and brahmacharis are allowed to execute deity worship. Householders, if they have to do deity worship, at least during the time while they execute the deity worship, they should stay away from the family. It helps. Because family life involves association with the modes of nature too much. And that is not good for the consciousness of the person who is executing the deity worship. So it's always recommended that those who are executing deity worship, they refrain from family life at least during that period when they are involved in the deity worship. So this way it keeps the consciousness of the person who is executing the deity worship Krishna conscious. If he is not Krishna conscious, what will happen? What will happen to the deity worship? It all depends on us. We have invited Krishna to come, but Krishna will only stay if we care for him properly with seriousness. If you don't care, if you are not serious about Krishna consciousness, and if you don't serve Krishna properly, deity worship is nothing but receiving a deity at home, receiving a guest at home. When a guest comes, what do we do first? We offer him a seat to sit down, invite him and bring him some water. And after washing his feet, this is the proper system, but may not be followed today, but that is a system discussed in the Shastra, that washes his feet, then provide him some nice food to eat, offer him a place to take rest, and then speak to him in a nice way. This is all we do to a guest also, isn't it? So exactly same way Krishna has come as our guest at the temple. So when Krishna has come like that, Krishna should be looked after in the same way. That is what the science of deity worship is telling us. That how to glorify, how to worship Krishna purely as a honorable guest at home. That is deity worship. So, Vaidiki Tantriki Diksha Madhiya Pradadharanam Mamarchasthapane Shraddha Sodha Samhatyajo Dhyama Udhyana Vavane Kreda Puramandira Karmani. That in addition to that, he talks about that building temples and also building gardens and vegetable gardens, fruit gardens, and also places for devotees to stay, and encouraging to do that and helping them to do that. All these things can help to develop the bhakti inside. Krishna says, Sammarjano vale bhabhyam segamandala vartane grahasya shoshanam mahil dasavadyadamayaya. Krishna says that Sammarjano vale bhabhyam, that cleaning the temple and segamandala vartane, also decorating the temple, grahashishroshanam mahyam dasavalyadamaya, that all these things should be done without any duplicity inside. What it means is, Krishna says one should do that in a sincerely, without any motivation behind it. Just like a servant He should do that happily. And this will please me, Krishna says. When somebody does that, it is like a servant. When he does that, it pleases me, Krishna says. Amaya. Amaya means that without any kapatyam, without any duplicity. When he does that, it is pleases me. That Krishna says. Then, Amanitvadam mitvam kratasya parikirtanam abhidipavalokam novayujyal divedidam. This is a very important one. Sometimes, when you read these verses, you can see that you may not straight away click the thought behind that lines. Krishna says here, Amanitvam adambitvam. Amanitvam means one who does not have any pride inside. Without any pride, one should do this service to Krishna. Amanitvam adambitvam. And without any falsity inside. And kratasya avari kratasya avari kirtanam. Whatever one has done, he should not make it and tell the whole world what we are doing. There is no need for that. If you read Bhagavatam, some of our activities may have to change. It becomes a necessity. Kratasya avari kirtanam. That, oh, we have done this, I've done this, I've done this. This is coming from Rajogunam. That we don't have to tell the whole world and not to tell everybody that we have done this. Kratasya avarigirtanam, whatever I have done, glorifying it to others, that we have done all these things in the temple and broadcast it to the whole world from Los Angeles to Sydney, what we are worshipping the deity. They all should know that we are worshipping the deity. So this is the problem that we have in this modern world. Our mentality is like this. That everything we have to tell everybody else what we are doing. And our excuse for that is that they will get benefited from this. They'll get benefit from this. So somehow or the other, this has become the nature of the world. But Bhagavatam is saying, kratasya avarigirtanam, that there is no need to tell the whole world what's going, what we are doing. And next line he says, Abhidivama Lokam me Noba Yunjal Nivedidam. That this is an important one. Abhidivama Lokam me Noba Yunjal Nivedidam. If you look into your English translation, you will find there basically the word used that whatever lamps has been lit in the room should not be used for other purposes, isn't it? Something like that is mentioned there. Abhidibhava logam me nobayunjal nivedidam. Something like that. What did it say?
It says, one should never use lamps that are offered to me for other purposes simply because there is need for illumination.
Yeah.
And similarly, one should never offer to me anything that has been offered or used by others.
Now, if you read that, what will you understand? That you should not use the lamp? Why is this making a big fuss about this lamp, isn't it? Lamp is, after all, it's a lamp. If I use a lamp, Krishna's lamp, what does it matter? This is what anyone will think. This looks a little silly to mention this. That somebody, light is lamp is burning anyway. If I use the lamp to read some book, what is wrong in that? No, that's not what it meant by that. Something else than that. What it means is that even a lamp, if you use it, what is given to Krishna, that is not allowed. Even a lamp. What to talk about other things? Anything what is once offered to Krishna by anybody should not be used by others. This is the tattvam behind it. The way of expressing that in by the sages is like this. Abhidibhava logam me nobayunjal nivedita means that if anybody has given anything for Krishna's purpose, it should not be taken by anybody else for any reason, under no circumstances. It is Krishna's property. To stress that point, it is spoken in this way. Do you get the point, what I'm saying? Abhidibhava lokam me nobayunjal nivedita. That is the words there. Literal meaning is what is written there. That when the lamp is burning. In other words, if a lamp is burning, you are not doing such a great abuse of Krishna's property then. You're just looking at the lamp, some other book you're reading. It is lamp is anyhow burning. So why not I read the book in that lamp? This is what anybody will think. And sometimes if you, the temple room, the lights are burning well, all the lamps are burning well, and you have got something to read, look at, you will immediately go to the temple room and say, okay, let me look at it, the light is burning. Krishna is saying, you should not do even that you should not do. In other words, even such a small thing, which will not affect, by which you are not taking anything from Krishna seriously, even that is not allowed. If it is like that, what to talk about taking money from Krishna? Ask that question. This is why I am saying. Abhidibhava lokam me nobayunjal nivedita means this. That if you take anything what has been given to Krishna by anybody, if that money is taken for any other purpose apart from serving Krishna, then that Krishna is rejecting here. It will not create bhakti. It will go against bhakti. It's against the principle of bhakti. That's what Krishna is saying. So therefore, Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna is talking about certain things, he uses very few words. Surya Goswami puts it in a very light-hearted way. But those who have understood this, they will never do that. They will not never do that. That's why Krishna is saying, Abhidibhava lokam me nobayunjal nivedidam. That even a lamp you should not use, which has been lit for me, it's mine, Krishna says. You have no right to touch it. No right to use it under any circumstances. So therefore, one has to be very, very conscious. This is the thing, this is called Shraddha. You make serious understanding of what you are doing with the deities. When you deal with the deities, how you are reacting with the relationship. That seriousness is more important than, that is called bhakti. That Krishna has given us the rules as far as deity worship is concerned. If we don't follow it and we put our rules to Krishna, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. So, amanittvam adambittvam kritasya parikirtanam abhidibhavalokam me nobayunjal nivedidam. So, from time immemorial, great, great devotees, they followed this strictly. They didn't deviate from this. Therefore, those deities were worshipped in that way. They also had shown their presence there. Krishna was shown their presence in that place by responded accordingly, according to the powerful personalities who worship the deity in that consciousness. They had that strength that when they called the deity replied back to them. Deity answered back. There were people like that. That deity was so much a person who responded according to the calls from the person who worshipped the deity. So that's that. Then next verse Krishna says, Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamatmana tattannivedayan mahyam tadanandyaya kalpade. Another important verse. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamatmana tattannivedayan mahyam tadanandyaya kalpade. Krishna says, if a devotee becomes very attached to me, what will he do? What he will do is, Yadyadishtadamam loge, whatever he likes in this world, when he gets it, if he gets anything, he'll bring it to me and give it to me straight away. This will be the devotee's consciousness. Yadyadishtadamam loge, what else? Yachadi priyamalpana, whatever that is very dear to him. Suppose everyone has different liking in this world, isn't it? Everybody has different liking. Some people are liking for flowers, somebody has liking for fruits, somebody has liking for gold, somebody has liking for anything in this world, doesn't matter what it is. Krishna says, whatever you are very attached to, bring it and give it to me. He says, that way your attachment will go. The idea is to get rid of this attachment from inside. If you give it to me, Krishna says, I will take that attachment away from your mind. Krishna doesn't need any of our offerings. He doesn't want it. But in order to help us to develop that detachment inside, Krishna has developed these, the acharyas have given us these processes. That's why it's a very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalpana tattannivedayan mahyam tadanandyaya kalpade. The result will be that he will develop such a high degree of happiness in spiritual life. He will make that progress very, very fast. And he will get the results also accordingly. One who gives to Krishna, He is benefited million times more than what he ever thought about this. Then, and anything what is shrestham, what is auspicious, he says, you should offer it to me. Then, after this, how to worship Krishna? Suryagnir brahmano gavo vaishnavakham marijalam bhudalpa sarvabhudani badrabhuja padani me. Now, up to now, the process of worship was discussed. Now, 11 places where Krishna can be worshipped is spoken now. In 11 places, Krishna should be, can be worshipped. In all these 11 places, where are they? Surya means sun. In the sun, you can worship Krishna. Brahmana, Agni, fire. Brahmana, cows. Vaishnava, Vishnu Bhakta, or Krishna's devotee. Come, the sky. Marud, Vayu, air. Water, earth. The soul and Sarvabhudani, all living entities. Badrabhuja Padani Me. They are all places of worship for me. And are all places where you can worship Krishna. All these 11 places. Although you can worship them in these 11 different places, the process of worship will change according to where you worship. Just like if you are worshipping Krishna in the sun. How do you worship Krishna? Krishna is present there as the Narayana form. Savitra Mandala Madhyavarti Narayana. So, Krishna is worshipped there through Gayatri. So, when you are worshipping Krishna in the sun, you worship him through Gayatri. You worship him through Gayatri. Then, Suryagnir brahmano gavo vaishnavakham marijalam puralpa sarvabhudani badra pujamadani me. Then we've also got there fire. Fire is worshipped. Krishna is worshipped in the fire as much as like the way we worship like the way we worship that for a, in the fire one is offering like in the sacrifice, isn't it? Havisa. Havisa means the ghee. Or Puryodasham, whatever called. In the, that is how you worship Krishna in the fire. Oh, offering the oblations to the fire. Just like in all the big sacrifices, you offer the oblations to the Supreme Lord. And is offered through the demigods, and Brahmanas and the fire are Krishna's two mouths through which Krishna eats. So fire is one of the mouths of Krishna. So through sacrifices, when you offer the foodstuff into the fire, the demigod takes that to Krishna and offer it to Krishna. Krishna eats through the fire. So that is through the fire. Then for a Brahmana, how does one worship? Brahmana, the main thing is Adityam. Adityam means as a guest. You look after him as a nicely and please him, this Brahmana. That is Adityam, Aditi. So Brahmana is worshipped in that way. Krishna's presence in the Brahmana. And cows, you worship Krishna in the cow. How do you worship cows? Offering nice grass to eat. That is worshipping Krishna. Offering nice grass for the cows to eat, that is worshipping Krishna in the cow. Then we have got Vaishnava, Vishnu. Vishnu is devotee. That there we look after the devotee with love and affection and offer him with respect, love and devotion, treat him as Krishna is present within him. Is Krishna manifest in that devotee? Therefore one should accept that way. Then in the heart, Krishna says, you should worship him as Krishna's presence as the soul. In the sky, where you remember that the sky is the first stage in the creation, isn't it? The first stage in the creation, from where everything creation has happened. So before it takes the name and the form, Krishna was present in the sky. Krishna was present in the sky. So you worship in that way. That knowing that from there everything origin, the creation has happened. So that's how you worship there. Then in the form of air, consider that as the prana, the life air in the body. So you worship in that way. And water, how do you worship in the water? You worship the water like Ganga river. How do you worship? Jala, Ganda, Pushpa, Dupam, Deepam. All the five different things. Jala, Ganda, Pushpa, Dupam, Deepam. The five things what is used in the worship, using that you can worship Krishna in Ganga river in that way. Then Sandilenisha means that Krishna says here, that is later on, the next word. Surya Dividyatraya Havishagno Yajedamam Adithyena Vipragre Goshangeshwanga Yavasa Adina Vaishnave Bandhu Salkratya Kritike Dhyana Nishtaya Vayo Mukhyadiyo Toye Dravyasteya Puraskradai Sandilehadeir Bogai Bogai Sandilo Mandrakadeir Bogai Almanava Almani Shetranyam Sarvabhudeshu Samatvene Yajedamam. So, in the verse 43, we talked about Surya, sun, and fire, and Brahmana, and then cows, and how to worship them. All those things were spoken. And in the 44th verse, Krishna talked about the devotee, Vishnu Bhakta, and then how inside one's own heart, meditation, and vayu, pranam, and water as the all the of all the of the dravya pushpa flowers water incense, all those things, that is for worshipping in the water. Then next one, 45, Krishna says tandile mandra hadaye bhogai almana valmani, that when you worship Krishna on the floor, on the ground, there are certain processes which are complex mantras. By writing those mantras and offering flowers on top of that, and there is a system like that. And bhogai almana valmani, this is an important one. That bhogai almana valmani means that when we worship Krishna, who is present inside, when we have any sense enjoyment through our senses, if we are conscious that this is being made an offer to Krishna, who is present inside as the soul, that is called bhogain almana valmani. With that, if you enjoy, accept that bhogam or sense gratification, that sense gratification will not cause problems. It becomes an offering to Krishna. Because that is why when we take prasadam, that is why we say the prayers before that. With that consciousness, you take prasadam. Similarly, any bhogam, not necessarily food, what we eat, but even other things, if it is, let it make pleasure to Krishna, with that consciousness that Krishna has given us, we are wearing it, bhogair almana valmani, it should please Krishna, who is present inside as the soul. If in that way, if it is accepted, Krishna says, that becomes an offering. Anything in this world, so many things we buy from the shops, isn't it? Different things. Thinking that for our own sense gratification. But Krishna is saying that if it is linked with me, then it becomes an offering to me. That is bhogain almana valmani. Krishna says there, bhogain almana valmani. Then kshetranyam sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajedamam. Then after that he says there, if you are worshipping kshetranyam, Kshetranya means Kshetranyam Chabimam Vidhi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Know that I am the Kshetranya in all the bodies. Kshetranyam. Kshetram is the body and Kshetranya is Krishna inside. So Kshetranyam Chabimam Vidhi, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So knowing that Krishna is the Kshetranya in everyone, serving them, Krishna says that is worship of me. Samatvene Yajedamam. And knowing the presence of Krishna in every living entity as the soul, if you worship that way, you will see samabhavana. Equality will come from that. Krishna says like that. That equality will come in a person. So, Kshetranyam cha sarvabhudeshu samatvena yajetamam. దిష్ణిష్వేది మద్రూపం శంఖచక్రగదాంబుజై యుక్తం చతుర్భుజం శాంతం ధ్యాయం నర్చేల్ సమాహిదాః. వాట్ ఎవర్ థింగ్స్ 11 ప్లేసెస్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ డిస్కస్డ్ వేర్ కృష్ణ కుడ్ బి వర్షిప్డ్ దేర్ ఆల్ వీ షుడ్ మెడిటేట్ ఆల్సో ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ద ఫోర్ హ్యాండెడ్ ఫార్మ్ కాన్షియల్ డిస్క్ లోటస్ ఫ్లవర్ అండ్ క్లబ్ ద ఫోర్ హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ ఇన్ దాట్ వే you should see me with the four-handed form and you should concentrate, focus your mind on that form intensely. Ishta purtena mamevam yoye cheda samahidaha labhate vaisal bhakti malsmadi sadhu sevaya. Then ishta purtam, what is ishta purtam means? Ishtam and purtam. Ishtam means say for example renovation of temples or building different things for the facilities, for the temples, devotees' accommodation, and or different sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices, yagam, all these kind of activities, that is called ishtam. Purtam means, ishtam means vedopta karma means this mainly basically sacrifices what is prescribed, like the different kinds of sacrifices in the Vedic Vedas mentioned. For example, you can say all the yagams, they are all meant to please Krishna. That's ishtam. Putra Gameshti, Ashwamedham, Rajasuyam, all are ishtam. It comes in that category. Purtam means construction of temples, renovation of buildings and facilities for the devotees, and things like that, like digging wells in the past, and things like that, which facilitates for the temple worship to carry on. All that is considered to be purtam. So, ishtapurtam, Krishna says here, ishtapurtena mam evam yo yajeda samahida, one who does that, labhade mai sadbhakti malsmrati sadhu sevaya, that he will achieve that devotion and remembrance of me, provided he does it with the right consciousness. And also, labhade mai sad bhakti mal smriti sadhu sevaya, that sadhu seva, by serving the devotees in that way, he will achieve that purity inside. What will happen is, he will attain purity of the heart, manashuddhi. Unless one's mind is pure, he would not get the knowledge of the soul, the knowledge of the soul. No matter how much you hear about the soul, still if the consciousness is not very pure, you will not achieve that purity. You will not able to realize it, in other words. Realization comes from the purity inside. The message is the same in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And because inside is not pure enough, therefore, it is taking a long time for the truth to penetrate inside. That's why it's taking so much time. So Krishna is saying here that the purpose of this, that for one who has no purity inside, for him it is difficult to develop spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization. And how will that purity come? Krishna says through devotion. And how will the devotion happen? Devotion will come from association. That is, Krishna is slowly driving us to this same point, what he wants to keep stressing again and again, all the time. Prayena bhakti yogena salsangena vinodhava nobayo vidyade sadrang prayanam hi satamaham. Earlier, Krishna spoke about bhakti yogam, and prior to that, Krishna spoke about Jnana Yoga as well. It is difficult to be situated in Jnana Yoga. Krishna says there, therefore the easiest process is bhakti. We must remember this always. Bhakti and Jnanam are actually not different. Sometimes people misunderstand. They say that, oh, there is no need for me to know all those things. That has nothing to do. I am a devotee. I follow the bhakti process. I don't follow the jnanam process. But you will notice that one day, when you attain your bhakti, when it comes to the perfection stage, Krishna will forcefully get this into your head, what is bhakti and what is knowledge means. Similarly, a person who is practicing jnanam, jnana yogam, if he says that, oh, this bhakti process is not for me, I am not interested in all these things, that also won't happen, because if he may keep on fighting with his knowledge, if there is no purity inside through bhakti, the knowledge won't manifest. The knowledge won't manifest inside. Bhakti and jnanam, they are not different in that sense. But for convenience sake, so many these differences are spoken. But at the later date, when one comes to realize the truth, you will see that bhakti and jnanam are one and the same. One and the same. They will not be separate. A great devotee is always a great full of knowledge. And the person who is in full of knowledge, he is also a great devotee. That you cannot take it away from that person. It's a natural thing that it happens that way. So therefore he says here that the prayana bhakti yogena salsangena vidodhava no vayo vidyade sadring prayanam ki satamaham. Krishna says there is no shortcut, he says to Arjuna. That shortcut, he says here, that to develop this bhakti, to develop this bhakti, Krishna says that prayana bhakti yogena. Bhakti yogam is the process whereby and that bhakti will come, bhakti will develop purity inside. Bhakti, proper bhakti, will develop chitta shuddhi. When the mind is very pure, consciousness is pure, as soon as you hear shastram, it will click inside without any further repetition of the same thing. All the Upanishads knowledge will manifest in automatically inside once you hear from someone. That depends on the chitta shuddhi inside. This is the reason why, if you look back into Upanishads, you will see this. When the children were sent to the Gurukulam for the lessons, many senses you can see that the guru or the teacher have sent the children for months together sometime without instructing them. Just allow their mind to settle down and develop that purity inside. Because a mind which is constantly having a lot of chittavritti inside, continuous flow of thoughts, cannot receive spiritual knowledge properly. It cannot capture it. That is a difficulty. So in order to do that, the mind, the purity has to be there inside, free from this continuous thoughts coming through the mind. It has to stop. So when the mind is peaceful, when the mind is completely peaceful, not only peaceful, in fact, if the mind goes away, all the more better. Because then the message straight away is absorbed by the soul without any difficulty. And spiritual, the soul from inside will start, illumination will come out naturally. So here, Krishna is saying here, that in order that spiritual realization to come, that I am not this body, I am soul, to that to happen inside, Krishna says purity is necessary inside. Purity. In order that purity to develop, bhakti is necessary. Bhakti is necessary. Proper bhakti. Proper bhakti is necessary. And proper bhakti will develop. That is also not an easy thing. Krishna says, when will that happen? The easiest process, Krishna is saying that, association. Sadhu Sangam. Sadhu Sangam. He says, Salsangena Vinodhava No Vayu Vidyade Sadring Prayanam Hi Sadamaham. So that is the only way, Krishna says, you can achieve that stage. When Krishna says the only way, that is the easiest way. In the next chapter, after saying this, in the next verse, Krishna said, Adhaidat paramam guhyam shrunvado yadunandana sugopya vavivakshyami tumme brithya suhrat sakha. Krishna says, Adhaidat paramam guhyam shrunvado yadunandana. I will now tell you about the secret of all these things, he says to Uddhava. Because Uddhava asked this question, isn't it? How will I have bhakti? How will I develop bhakti? And how will I understand a person who is a devotee or who is in that category whom I should associate with? Uddhava's question is very genuine, isn't it? So when Uddhava asked this question, Krishna explained all these things, and he says, eventually he said, it all comes from the association with the devotee. Salsangena vinodhava. Then Krishna says here, adhaidat paramam guhyam shrunado yadunandana. I'm going to give you some very highly confidential understanding of these things. Sugopya avivakshyami. I'll tell you, it's very gopyam. It is very confidential. And so I will tell you this because you are my servant, you are my friend, you are my associate, everything. Tombe mrityu suhral sakha. So after that, with that, Krishna finishes that chapter. Very confidential thing, Krishna is going to talk in the next chapter. So, we have so far looked at the worshipping process of Krishna, native worship or any other process for that matter. As one is progressing in the spiritual life, his process of spiritual life will also develop in a different way. That only one will know within inside, you will get the right direction from inside, how to modify his processes of worship. It's not that you started with something, it will remain the same thing forever. It will keep progressing, because according to your progress, the process also will require adjustment. So Krishna was saying that upasana sampradaya, the process of upasana will also be changed. Ultimately, the point what Krishna is making is that all these are externally influencing us to remember Krishna somehow. That is the goal, isn't it? How to remember Krishna. So that is why, as much as one makes progress and one becomes serious in spiritual life, his method of worship can also change. It's not that we started the system, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, parikrama. And next 40 years you keep doing the same thing. That's not the way spiritual life runs. You may have done that in the beginning at some times to strengthen your Krishna consciousness. But as we get deeper understanding and higher realizations from Shastra, and when we hear from the great devotees, and as much as our association with devotees gets better, our realization will also change, and accordingly our attitude and spiritual life will change. At deeper and deeper level, we will develop Krishna consciousness on a deeper level. That can only happen at an advanced stage. So it is not, it's like a duty, you do it whole life. So, having said all this, Krishna is saying now, in the next chapter, Krishna is going to talk about this satsangam, association with the devotees. Lot of things to understand here, because in this chapter 12 is important. Krishna spoke a lot of things about tattvam before, about different sadhanas. So many things Krishna has spoken. And eventually Krishna is telling us that even if you don't have all these things, what we have spoken, if you just take this one thing seriously, very seriously if you take it, you can make the quickest progress in spiritual life. The fastest, the fast track process is what Krishna is going to talk, the fast track. That is association. The power of association, Krishna is going to talk about that first. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is nothing in this world as powerful as association that develops bhakti in the heart of a person. So Krishna says, 12th chapter, chapter 12, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narodhaya Divam Yogo Nasankhyam Dharma Evacha na swadhyaya tapasthyago ishtapurtam na dakshina. First, Krishna is going through different spiritual activities. Na rodhayati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma evaja. That chittavritti nirodham. Yoga means chittavritti nirodham by the Ashtanga Yoga process, if one executes that. Sankhya process, by the process of Sankhyam. Sankhyam is the analytical study. Kapila Maharshi is Sankhyam. Tattva Chinta, in other words, analyzing the truth. Then Dharma. Dharma means Vedokta Karma Anushtanam. That means different karma specified in the Vedas, executing those karma. Swadhyayam, studying the Shastra. Tapa, tapas means austerities. Tyagam, without expecting any results, executing your karma. Without expectation of any results. Karma anushtanam. Or you can also say sannyasam in that way. Ishtapurtam. Ishtapurtam means what is spoken in the Veda, Shruti and Smriti. What is spoken in the Shruti is Ishtam. What is spoken in the Smriti is Purtam. You saw that before. Ishtam means just like performing sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices. Purtam means those things which are meant for supplementing the maintenance of the temples and things like that to help the deity worship. Dakshina, ishtapurta na dakshina. Dakshina means the money what you offer after every sacrifice as a dakshina. Krishna says none of these attracts me. That is his first statement. None of them is attractive to me. Then Krishna is saying here, by executing asanam, pranayamam and all those things, there is effort required in that, isn't it? That is the main thing. In all these things, a lot of effort is required, isn't it? And effort means you have to put a lot of energy into it. Say, for example, if you're talking about Patanjali's yoga system, you got to be very determined to follow that, isn't it? And that requires a strong willpower and commitment and determination from your side. If you are talking about Tattva Chinta, Sankhya process, that requires intellectual analysis and a sharp intelligence, a very high degree of renunciation and detachment from this world. This is a requirement for that, for Sankhya. Na ryodhyadimam yogo na Sankhyam dharma evajam. Dharma means executing the Vedic sacrifices, requires ingredients, qualified people, and people should be done without any flaw to have the results to come. Then what else he is saying here? Swadhyayam tapasa tyagam. Studying Shastram, austerities and penances, sacrifices or sannyasa ashram, and ishtabhotam dakshina. All this requires effort, isn't it? All this requires effort in some form or the other. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that without all these things, there is something better than this. That's the point Krishna is making here. That none of them are as powerful as this, what I'm going to tell you, Krishna says. That the goal of everything, all these things, is that you reach the Atma Swarupam, that we reach the soul, to identification with the soul. In order to, that is realization, isn't it? Ultimately freeing oneself from the identity with the body. That is the goal. So in order to get there, Krishna says that freedom from the body, freedom from the body, and to be situated in the soul requires a lot of effort. Even it requires a lot of effort. That but what will happen, Krishna says in the next verse, Vradani yajnaschandam si tirthani niyamayamaha yadha avarunde sal sanga sarva sangapaho himam yajnaschandam si yagam and mantram, yagas and mantras, Vedic mantras, niyamam, yama niyamam, you know, niyamam yamam, that is the all the regulations, cleanliness, austerities and all that kind of things. And they also, sarva sangavaha, And they also Ekadashi, fasting. And all the deity worship what you perform. Ekadashi, fasting on Ekadashi day. And fasting on other auspicious days. Bathing in Ganga river and other holy places. And also for following all the regulative principles to in order to please Krishna. None of them, Krishna says, is as powerful as association of the devotee. Association of the devotee. Because anything impurity that can happen from anything else, association has got the power to purify that. So Krishna gives importance to satsanga for one reason only, that vishaya asakti means our attachment for sense enjoyment goes away when one develops satsangam, attachment to satsangam. What actually happens in satsangam is, you have to understand, suppose a lot of things we talk about in satsangam, a lot of things we discuss from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, automatically the mind stops. When you come out of satsangam, you feel a certain degree of peace within oneself, isn't it? A peace within oneself. If the satsangam has worked or not, that is the test. That association has helped or not. If you are listening carefully what was spoken, it will have its impact on you, that when you come out of the satsangam, naturally you feel a certain peace inside. Why is that? Because even if you have not understood anything, what has been spoken, at least for that point, chittavritti has stopped. This is the main thing. The chittavritti, constant thoughts which otherwise would have been coming through your mind, that completely stops at that time and it is filled with thoughts about Krishna and Krishna's message. So even if the message did not go in completely, if you have not been taken or fully realized it, in other words, probably when you hear so many things, you may capture 5%, 10% sometimes. If you get 15%, you should say you've done very well. So these things depends on one's purity inside also, how much one captures. But the fact is this, that at least at that time, if you had given your mind or attention to what you were hearing, and if the chittavritti has come to a stop, that brings that peace inside. That is to indicate to us how important it is, the chittavritti nirodham, stopping these thoughts coming through inside. We don't require many examples for that. We know ourselves that how much thoughts influence us all the time. Different kinds of thoughts in the mind, isn't it? How it starts bombarding us. And it is completely independent of us. It keeps on going on its own way. We have no control over that, isn't it? Sometimes people, when they are driving cars, they are on the mobile phone sending a text. And then they are also shaving. And then the one handlebar is like this with the hand, and the mind is somewhere else. Imagine that. Have you seen that? Sometimes people do that, especially in the morning when they go to work. Or taking the children to school. You notice all these kind of things. Just to show how much disturbed inside the mind. How disturbed inside the mind is. That people are not peaceful. They are not peaceful. This is the indication of all that. That they have to do 10 jobs at the same time. And they think, I'm doing a great job. This is what they're thinking. The one who is doing it is thinking he's doing a great job. That I'm doing so much, I'm getting it done. Why? This anxiety inside, oh, this has to be done, that's been done. So, all these things has to go on in life all the time. When we withdraw from that world of the mind, and we are able to be situated within the self, happiness comes. Happiness doesn't come from the mind, happiness comes from the soul. That is what is called Atma Sukham, the happiness within the soul. Alpa Ramascha Vinayo Nargranda Abhi Urukame Kurwandi Haitukim Bhaktim Itam Vadaguno Hari. So happiness of the soul is different than happiness. Karmam will never bring that happiness. It is not possible. You can execute millions of karmam in this world, eventually happiness won't come, more anxiety will come from that. So the Krishna is saying here, Bradani Yajnas Chandamsi, Tirthani Deva Yama, Tirthani Deva Yama, Yatha Virunde Sal Sangam Sarva Sangapaho Paho Himam, Sal Sangeni Hidaideya, Yadudhana Mrga Khagaha, Gandharva Apsaraso Naga, Siddhas Charana Guhyaga, Vidyadara Manusheshu, Vaishya Shudra Striyodhya Jaha, Rajastava Pragdaya, Stasmin Stasmin Yuge Anaka, Brahavomal Padam Prapta, Twashtra Kayadhava Adaya, Vrushabarva, Belirbano, Vaishchada Vibhishanaha, Sugrivo Harimanuksho, Gajo, Grandro, Vani Padhaha, Vyadha Kubja, Vraje Gopyo, Yatyavatyas Tathapani. So, what Krishna has done now is that having spoken about satsangam, Krishna now is saying to prove to us that satsangam is more powerful than anything else, Krishna brings it in this way. Generally, it is spoken that human life is meant for self-realization, isn't it? Everywhere it is confirmed in the Shastram. Human body has been given to us for self-realization. In other words, only in the human body you can realize the self. Only in the human body, this is the Shastric injunction. That human, Krishna says this in the Ekadasham later, that I have given you this human body for this purpose only, for realizing the truth, self-realization. That's the purpose of giving us this body, not for making money or doing something else. That is another thing. But Krishna's point is, I have given the human body to everyone to realize the truth, self-realization. Now, Krishna is saying, I have made an exception to that. Those who have realized the truth of the self, who have realized the self-realization, they include all these people. Rakshasas, demons, birds, beasts, all kinds of animals. And vidyadharas, guhyagas, or a list of people who don't have a human body. They have realized the truth through satsangam, Krishna says. So in other words, for satsangam, Krishna makes an exception to show the power of satsangam, power of association, how powerful it is, that even without going through all these rules and regulations, what we are talking about, the personalities, if you start looking at it now, all of them mentioned here, they realize the truth without doing any of these things, what we are trying to do now in our life. That is the power of satsangam. Krishna says, from this we can understand how important it is always to be associating with devotees. Always the association of devotees. But that association also, there is categories there. Different kinds of association. So when we discuss that later, we'll see there. But important point is, Krishna gives this important that salsangam is the topmost thing. Krishna considers as the topmost process for self-realization. Because it is so fast and it is least effort required. Least effort and fast track, both. In all two in one. Krishna gives to us. Krishna's special offer, this is. This satsangam. Satsangam is Krishna's special offer. It's not available. You can study Shastram whole lifetime. You can fast Ekadashi whole lifetime. You can do the deity worship whole lifetime. Krishna says none of them is anywhere close to satsangam. Krishna gives so much weight to that, to satsangam. So from this you can see how important it is, this association of the devotees. So generally, Krishna has mentioned this before also, that the satsangenehi daiteya yadudhana mrga khagaha. He says, simply by the power of satsangam, those who have born in the very, very lower species, they attain perfection very quickly. Isn't it? They attain perfection very quickly. And he says, asuras, demons, rakshasas, animals, birds, gandharvas, apsaras, snakes, siddhas, charanas, guhyagas. After that, at least some of them we know, if we don't know everybody. We know the snakes, don't we? Snakes we know. Among human society also there are snakes. So those snakes also can progress. That's what Krishna is saying. It's not only the snake which goes on the crawls on the ground. But even them, Krishna says, Mrigaha, Khagaha, animals and birds, and Gandharvas, Apsaras, we have not met them yet. So Sarpam, snakes, Siddhas, Charanas and Guhyakas, they are also different species. Even they like to get a human body to develop spiritual life. Even they like it. Asuras, Rakshasas, imagine, Krishna has put in everybody there. That all of these people, what is mentioned here, the important thing is, they have no Shastram. They have no qualification for Shastram, studying Shastram. So they are already restricted, you can see that. None of these people who are mentioned there, they get an opportunity to study Shastram. So they are limited in their capacity because Shastram is meant for giving us the direction in spiritual life. So if you have no possibility of studying Shastram, what chances are there? That's the point. But they were fortunate that they could make it through Satsangam, through association. Then that is the power of Satsangam, Krishna says. They became perfect. That once through Satsangam, if you develop bhakti, then the next thing is that you won't require any of these regulated principles or any kind of processes like anushtanam, we call it. In other words, like this chanting 16 rounds a day, following Ekadashi regularly. Why? Because through Satsangam, you got so purified that your mind is always absorbed in Krishna. If your mind is absorbed in Krishna, what Ekadashi you need for? Ekadashi is required to get the mind absorbed in Krishna. But if it's happening through Satsangam, is there any need to follow, worry about Ekadashi? You don't have to look at the calendar anymore. It won't have to happen. This is the beauty of Satsangam. Krishna says here that Anushtanam is not required. And but if you thinking that, oh, now I have association, I don't have to follow any rules and regulations, that's nonsense. That won't work. That you have to reach that stage in a natural way, you have to get there. That through association, you have to reach that state of consciousness when you don't require anymore following these rules and regulations. It has happened to devotees. Many devotees have confirmed this. One of those is what is mentioned in the Vilumangalam's verses, isn't it? Sandhya vandana badramastu bhavado bhosnaradubhyam nama bodeva pidaras chadarpanavido naham kshamakshamyadam. That once Vilumangalam was sitting underneath the tree, and Vilumangalam is so much absorbed in Krishna that he started, Krishna was sitting on his lap and he was dreaming. Krishna was playing with Vilumangalam and Vilumangalam was dreaming through all these things. Krishna is sitting on the lap, he felt like that. And at that situation, all the demigods came to remind him that, Swamiji, why are you sitting? Why are you not taking bath? Why you are not doing your sadhyavandanam? And things like that. All the rules and regulations. Naradevada came. The Pitadevadas came. Who all visited him? He confirms that there. Who all visited him? So he told them that yatra kwa binishidda yadav gulotam sasya kamsadvisham smaram smaram akham haramitadalam manye ki manye name. That he says to them that I cannot do anything. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Because right at this time, my mind is completely caught up in Krishna's pastimes and I'm busy with Krishna. So forgive me if I'm not able to please you. They have come to wish him all the best. But instead he was wishing them the best and telling them to go. He says, I don't want to discuss, I have no time, I am busy with Krishna, he says. So if one reaches that stage, for him, he can break away from all the regulative principles, all the rules and regulations, vidhi, nishetham, and anushtanam, all those things goes away from him. All goes away from that person. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. But it makes us feel that the power of satsangam is so high. Power of satsangam is so high that our material life comes to a dead stop with proper satsangam. So he says here, satsangene hidaideya, that yadudhana mrgaha khagaha gandharva apsaraso naga siddhas charana guhyaka, that once the realization, in firm realization, with a deep devotion inside, bhakti has become very firmly rooted inside. Along with that, all the realization associated with that, if that has happened, then he doesn't have to follow any of the rules and regulations. He would not be necessary for him, because his consciousness is already free from the influence of the modes of nature. He's already in a liberated platform. In other words, the three modes of material nature can't touch him. The mind is not active anymore. Mind is finished. The whole consciousness is absorbed in Krishna. If that is the situation, Krishna says, that can happen with satsangam. And in the next two verses, he's going to tell us who all have become like that. Vidyadhara manushyeshu vaishya shudra striyo andyajaha rajastama prakdaya stasmin stasmin yuge anakha. Vidyadharas, among the men, vaishya shudra women, and those who are of inferior birth. In other words, in whom the rajogunam and tamogunam is very high. That's what they are referring to. Rajogunam and tamogunam is very high. And those who have no opportunity to develop spiritually. That is the condition of most of the people, isn't it? Everyone who has generally this opportunity for spiritual life does not happen to these people. Sri Shudra Tulkadha Bishravana Virahido Asadam Te Dayarha. They all require Krishna's special attention. Who? Women, Shudra, and those who have no opportunity to hear about Krishna. Tulkadha Bishravana Virahido Asadam Te. They all require Krishna's special attention. Dayarha. And therefore, he says here, even they, that they have no opportunity to develop spiritually, but satsangam makes them also very quickly to go up in the spiritual life. Very quickly they progress spiritually through satsangam. Then in the next fifth and sixth verse, Krishna gives a list of people who have done that. Bahavo malpada praptva tvashtra kayadhava adaya mushaparva belirbano mayaschada vibhishanaha Sugrivo Hanuman Racho Gajogra Dhrovani Padaha Vyadha Kubja Braje Gopyo Yatya Matyastatha Pare. You can see the names mentioned there. Bhagavo Malpada Prapta Twashtra Kayadhava Adaya. Twashtra means Vritrasura. Vritrasura's story in the sixth canto, you know, we have discussed this. Who is Vritrasura? Chitrakedu became Vritrasura, isn't it? So that Vritrasura is spoken as the one, he was a demon, he was a demon's body, but association made him a devotee. Association made him a devotee. Whose association Vritrasura got? Vritrasura had some great association, isn't it? Vritrasura, in Chitraketu's life, when he had that king's body, how he had to accept that body of a demon. When he went and offended Sri Parvati, isn't it? She went and offended Sri Parvati. Although he offended Sri Parvati, he received the association of Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee, the greatest Vaishnava's association. Chitrakedu got before he became Vritrasura. If you look into the conversation between Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva, at that time in sixth canto, you will see Lord Shiva glorifies Krishna's devotee there and says to him that Narayana Parayana, one who has surrendered to Krishna, look at his glories, Shiva says to Parvati. So at that point, in Shri Parvati's heart melted. And Lord Shiva's household, after they cursed Chitrakedu, after they cursed Chitrakedu, in their heart, they felt a great compassion for Chitrakedu. This is the reason when he became Vritrasura, that compassion of Shri Parvati and Lord Shiva followed. And that is why that purified him straight away. That is why in Vritrasura's body, he became a greater devotee. Inside. Body is a demon's body. And that is why he was able to say like that, what he spoke there. What did he say? Na naga prashtam, na parameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na resadhibatyam, na yoga siddhi apunarbhavam va samanjasatva virahaya kankshe, ajada baksham viva madaram ghakha, stanyam yadha valsatara chudhartha, priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna manora vindachand darkshade tvam. Lord Shiva and Shri Parvati blessed him. You won't forget Krishna. Go and get any body you want. Doesn't matter. I've already said, Parvati, Shri Parvati has said that you become a demon. Now I can't take it back. When Shri Parvati asked, do you want any compensation for this? Because she felt sorry for him. That it's only when Shri Parvati reflected on what she said, she thought she shouldn't have said that. But having said that now, she couldn't take it back. So she says to Chitrakedu that, don't worry, you don't have to go to this. He says to her, what did he say? I have some prarabdham to become a demon. Let me go through that. It is not your fault. And that is what made Lord Shiva's heart melt. And Lord Shiva says to Shri Parvati, look at this devotee. This is a devotee willing to accept anything given to him and accept it as Krishna's mercy. And never complained one moment and went away from there. So that mercy from Shiva and Parvati, it is like that. From every great soul, when you receive a little mercy like this, if they think for once about us, let him get, become a devotee, or let there be devotion in his heart, let there be some realization. If they think about us like that, it will happen very quickly. So in this case, it was Shri Parvati and Shiva gave Chitrakedu that. And the result was that in Vritrasura's body, he could not resist the devotee's feelings was coming out. That's why it says there, isn't it? At the end of the sixth canto, you will notice this. Vritrasura, before going back to the spiritual world, how Vritrasura reacted. How did he react? The Nagaprishtam. Nagaprishtam, he calls it. Nagaprishtam, he say, the throne of Indra. That is Nagaprishtam. Indra's seat in the heavenly planet. Whom is he talking to? To Indra he is saying this. And this word, Nagaprishtam, Prishtam means the back. And it is not a very nice way of saying. Indra considers itself as a very honorable position. His seat in the heavenly planets. But Vritrasura is not giving much value to it. He says, "No, Nagaprishtam. I'm not fond of those things." He says, "No, Nagaprishtam, na japaarameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhibatyam. If you give me the control of all the three planetary systems, I'm not interested. Even the Rasadalam planet, which is an opulent place, that also I'm not interested. Na yoga siddhi. If you give me all the yoga siddhi, I'm not interested." Even if you tell me, I don't have to take another birth, I'm not interested, he says. For me, I have to go back to Krishna. That is what I'm interested. So, ajada vaksham iva madaram khaga stanyam yadha valsadara chudhata. Then he gives two, three examples. What are they? Like the birds, the little birds who are just born, they are sitting in the cage, waiting for the father or mother, female or male bird, to bring the food for them. Whole day they are waiting. By evening they collect enough food and bring it to the cage to feed the babies. So how anxiously the children are waiting whole day for the parents to come back. That is ajada paksham iva madaram ghaga, because they don't have the wings yet. The wings are not ready for flying yet. So they have to stay back. till their parents bring the food for them. Ajada baksham iva madharam ghagasthanyam yadha valsadara kshudhartha. The calf want to drink the milk from the mother, but he is not allowed. He has to wait till the evening, till the milking time comes, or the milking time comes in the morning. So they use the calf to get the milk from the cow, isn't it? They allow the calf to drink the milk. So when they see the cow gives more milk freely, profusely. And you can milk the cow and then allow the calf to drink as much as they want. So, and much anxiously, the calf is waiting for the cow to give the milk. Sanyam yadha valsadara chudhartha. Similarly, priyam priyeva vishidam vishannaha. Just like two people, man and woman, they are in love with each other. They got recently married or association started. So that association developed into love, proper feeling, attachment. So how one the partner is waiting for, the wife waits for the husband to come home in the evening with so much anxiety. She is waiting at home. Priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna manu aravindaksha didrkshade tvam. Similarly, my mind, Vritrasura is saying, is going to Krishna in that way. I cannot bear the separation from Krishna anymore. That is how Vritrasura has spoken. That Vritrasura became a devotee. You don't see Vritrasura was chanting anything. Vritrasura was not studying any shastra. He was a king. Chitrayedu was a king, wasn't he? Chitrayedu did not do any seriously any austerities or penances or anything. Simply because Narada Maharshi is mercy first. Isn't it? Narada Maharshi's mercy, he went to the heavenly planets, then he committed this offense to Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, he became Vritrasura. That's how it happened. So, he received the association of Sri Narada Maharshi, he received the association of Lord Shiva. Sri Narada Maharshi felt pity for him and thought, let him get better. So, he went. But because the vasanas have not gone from inside, the bad vasanas came out in the form of offending Sri Parvati. But because he was a devotee, Narada Maharshi's blessings were there. Even after influencing by the bad vasanas inside, still it did not destroy his spiritual life. He still went up from there. That even after offending Sri Parvati in Kailasam, Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva felt compassion for him and told him, you will get better, and sent him away from there. So even though he had to take Vritrasura's body later, it was not a loss at all for him. Because after Vritrasura gave up the body, he went back to the spiritual world fully realized. So that is what example Krishna is giving here, the first example, as Vritrasura. That is Tvashtra's son, isn't it? Tvashtra's son. Then another best example, Kayadhavadaya. Kayadhava. Who is Kayadhu? Kayadhu is Hiranyakashipu's wife. And Kayadhu's son is Prahlada. Born in Hiranyakashipu's son, imagine. Hiranyakashipu's son got liberated and went back to the spiritual world through association. Whose association? Sri Narada Maharshi's association in the womb. That is called association, not association physically associating. That is not the association. If you see in the 7th canto, Saptama Skandam, if you read, you will find there the association which Sri Narada Maharshi and Prahlada, how it was happening, how the transmission happened. The knowledge from Sri Narada Maharshi to Prahlada, that is association, not any other kind of association. Association is not, we are all sitting in one room, we are associating. That is not association. Association is that proper transmission of the spiritual understanding from Sri Narada Maharshi to Prahlada. That has happened. The result was that when he came out from the Kayadhu's womb, he was already liberated. He was a liberated soul when he came out from inside, from Kayadhu's womb. So, Kayadhu Vadaya. He says, like Kayadhu and many others, Krishna has left behind many names. Because just to give us an example, that two personalities, both are demons. One is this Vritrasura and the other one is Prahlada. Two demons. More than that, we don't need examples. They became devotees and through association, and they got themselves to the highest platform, to the of spiritual life. So, we must remember that when we are performing sadhana in our spiritual life, we take it as a severe austerity, isn't it? 16 rounds I have to chant today. Plus I have to follow 4 regulative principles. And plus I have to read, how much the injunction says, 30 minutes or something. You have to read every day. So many things like that. We do it like a machine, day after day after day. Vritasura, look at him. He didn't get even initiated. He didn't do anything. He went back to the spiritual world. Before we got there, he got there. And we are still here. So, what does it mean? What does this all mean? It means spiritual life is not a one-way traffic like this. You never know what happens in spiritual life. This is why Krishna is giving us these specific examples to understand that never ever to think that it is under our control. Spiritual life is not under our control. Their good fortune that they were able to associate with great souls like that. Prahlada, born as Hiranyakashipu's son, gets the association of Srinarada Maharshi. And in the next examples, if you look at, you will notice there, Vrishabharva, Balirbano, Mayaschadha, Vibhishanaha. Now, Vrishabharva, who is Vrishabharva? Vrishabharva's story is mentioned who is Vrishabharva? Do you know Vrishabharva? Vrishabharva is the father of who? Father of Sharmishta. You remember Sharmishta? Who is Sharmishta? Sharmishta and Devayani. Who? Devayani was the daughter of Shukracharya and Sharmishta was the daughter of Vrishabharva. From Devayani, and then Shukracharya married Devayani to King Ayati. King Ayati later on married Sharmishta. From Devayani, children were born. Who? Two children were born, isn't it? Yadu and Turvasu. Yadu and Turvasu were born from Devayani. All these names we must remember because they are important personalities in the Bhagavadam. Yadu and Turvasu, they were born from Devayani. And Sudeva Goswami says, from Sharmishta, Druhyu, Anudruhyu and Puru. Three boys. They were born from Sharmishta. So the Sharmishta's father is Vrishabharvav. Vrishabharvav got the association mentions here that who is Vrishabharvav? Vrishabharvav's association was that soon after his birth, Vrishabharva was rejected by his mother. He was then brought up by a sage and became a devotee of Lord Vishnu. That's all it says in this book. So, if you want to get the details, you have to look at other Puranas. But whatever it is, Vrishabharva is that person. He had the association of a great sage. Possibly it is referring to Shukracharya, we don't know. But Shukracharya was his father-in-law, isn't it? So, Vrishabharva got liberated in the same way, it says here. Then it comes, talks about whom? Vrishabharva, Mahabali, isn't it? Mahabali. Mahabali got association. Whose association Mahabali got? Vamana Murti, Lord Vamana. So, Vrishabharva, Bali Maharaj attained association, became a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj attained the association of Prahlad Maharaj. Mahabali got association of Vamana Murthy, who is Krishna, one. At the same time, he got the association of Prahlada. He is Prahlada's grandson, isn't it? Mahabali is Prahlada's grandson. So you will see when Prahlada was always a great devotee. And because of that devotee, Narasimhamurti gave these blessings to him that for 7 generations in both directions, they will all be my devotees. They will all be liberated souls. So although Mahabali, a powerful demon who fought this big, great battle against the demigods, he won the battle. But before he went to fight this battle, Shukracharya took a garland and put it on Mahabali's neck. And he told him that only when this garland flowers dries up, only then you will be in distress. As long as this garland remains fresh, you will never experience defeat in life. With these blessings, he put this garland on Mahabali. And Amlana Pushpam Jalajam Jashukraha. In the Bhagavatam, it says like that. Amlana Pushpam, the flower which will not dry up, which will not lose its freshness. Jalajam Jashukra. Shukracharya put that garland on him. Then he did a very intelligent thing. That is what Sukadeva Goswami says about him. When he was going to fight Indra, this is after the war. Before that, the demigods have got together and they were giving a hard time for the demons. And Mahabali is ahead of them. And all these personalities like Viprachiti, Kaladevi, who became Kamsa later, they were all his close friends, Mahabali's friends. So Mahabali, when he went to conquer the heavenly planets, at that time the question came up whether how he should go. And Shukracharya told him, you go now. Put the garland and told him to go and fight the war. But Sukadeva Goswami says there that Mahabali did a very intelligent thing. What was the intelligent thing? That Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara. Prahlada Maharaj was sitting there. He went and paid his obeisances to Prahlada. What did Prahlada do? Prahlada put both his hands on Mahabali's head and told him, Vijayi Bhava, become successful. Prahlada's hand means what? Narasimhamurti, isn't it? That hand which has been blessed by Narasimhamurti, that is Prahlada's hand. If Prahlada puts his hand on someone, that will not go wasted. So with these two things, mercy from the spiritual master Shukracharya, blessings from the priya devotee Prahlada, Mahabali went to fight the war. What happened? When Mahabali arrived on the sea in the heavenly planet, already our Indra came to know that Mahabali is on his way. He left the place and ran away from there. He didn't have to even fight the war. There was not even proper war happened. They all left. And as soon as Mahabali arrived there, Mahabali took over Indra's position there. And Indra was made redundant for some time. Indra had to wait to come back. And that's when later on, you know the story of Vamanamurti and all that. But that is in the 8th canto. But what I'm saying here is that the blessings what he received, who Mahabali received from Prahlada, that association is valuable. Remember, Mahabali was not even a person who has executed, studied Shastram or studied any, or performed any austerities, rather enjoyed his life like a demon will do. Mahabali did that and he goes back to the spiritual world. And what did Krishna say to him? I'll be standing at your gate as a servant. And why Krishna is saying that here now? To show the power of association. So all these examples is to tell us, Krishna is saying here, that jnanam, spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization, execution of karma, all these things has its own position in spiritual life. If we can't get association, like the way Krishna is talking about, then we have to follow the other one. There is no other choice. That's why none of them are not recommended. They're all necessary. Studying Shastram is necessary. Chanting the holy name is necessary. Observing Ekadashi is necessary. Why? Because we don't have that association. We are not getting. Therefore it is necessary. If we are having that kind of association, like the way it is spoken here, then at some stage all these things will leave us. It may not be even necessary. Krishna is saying here. Next one, Mahabali, Banasura. Banasura, Bana story. You know in the 10th canto, Bana story. Bana was a very powerful demon. Very, very powerful demon. And Bana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And if you remember the past time, Bana's daughter Usha fell in love with Krishna's grandson Aniruddha, isn't it? So, Aniruddha was brought by Chitralekha into the palace by yogic power from Dwaraka all the way to Bana's palace. Bana came to know about this and he caught hold of Kumbhanda, his minister, and they marched the whole army against Aniruddha. They tied him down. Usha started crying. And at that time, the message was brought to Dwaraka. Krishna immediately started with the army to get Aniruddha back. So they came to fight the war. By now, just before this, an incident happened in the palace. The incident happened in the palace. Our Banasura asked Lord Shiva to come and stand as a watchman at his door. Lord Shiva thought, this devotee is not too bad. That he was very good with Lord Shiva. He used to, with his thousand hands, he used to play the drums. When Shiva was dancing, he used to play the drum in Kailasam, Mount Kailas. He used to go there. But later on, the association developed so closely, one day he started asking Lord Shiva to come and stand there as a watchman for his palace. Lord Shiva thought, I think the time has come now to tell this devotee certain things. So what he did was, he said, Bana says, I need somebody to fight with. He says. So Shiva started thinking that his hands were feeling restless. So he told Bana, you break all the rocks in the world, beat them up and smash them down. Bana said, I've done all that. Apparently it's only after he broke down many of the rocks in this world and put them into pieces. Then still he was looking for somebody to fight. So Shiva says to him, one day you'll have a proper match to fight. So this incident happened, but Shiva was fond of Banasura. He was a devotee of Shiva's devotee. So when the fight happened, Krishna came with the army and recovered from there our Aniruddha, from there with Usha. At that time, all the thousand hands, except two hands, everything else was cut off by Krishna. There was a big fight. Shiva took the sides of Banasura and Krishna fought the war against Banasura. So different personalities joined different sides. Pradyumna joined, Samba joined on Krishna's side and Subramanya joined on Shiva's side, like that. Let's mention the 10th canto, you can see that pastime there. So the thing is that Banasura eventually was pleased. Why? Banasura was related to Mahabali. So Krishna says there that Banasura, because of his association with Shiva, I had to take him out from here, to the spiritual world. So Banasura also got released. So they all executed their work in this world, whatever capacity they had to do, but still they went back to the spiritual world. So Krishna gives that example, Banasura. Then Maya. Maya is the demon who built Indraprastham, isn't it? Where he built in for the Pandavas the special places. And due to Pandavas' association, Maya got benefited. Simply by association with the Pandavas, Maya also got purified and went back to the spiritual world. Then who else? Vibhishana. Vibhishana got liberated, isn't it? Vibhishana is a devotee. How did Vibhishana come to that position? That Vibhishana had a lot of association, hasn't he? Vibhishana had the association mainly from Hanuman, Ajaneya Swami, Hanuman's association. That helped him get released from this material life once for all. Simply by Hanuman's association, that pure devotee, that Vibhishana became a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And eventually he got liberated. So all these examples, if you look at, you can see, they were not restricted by any rules and regulations. Nothing was there in their life. And Sugrivo Hanuman Raksho Gajo Gradhro Manikpadaha Vyadha Kubja Vraje Gopyo Yajnabhatyastadha Pare. Then all the Krishna is giving here four monkeys. Sugriva Hanuman Raksho. Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan, three. All three of them are vanaras, isn't it? All three of them are vanaras. Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan. All of them three important personalities in the Ramayana, isn't it? In the Ramayana, all three are important personalities. Out of those three, the only learned and intelligent person was Hanuman. Very learned and very intelligent, recognized by Ramachandra. Above that, a great devotee as well. But Jambavan and Sugriva, Sugriva's academic qualifications are not very highly credible. If you look at Sugriva's way, how Sugriva reacted certain situations, but simply due to association with Hanuman and Lord Ramachandra, Sugriva went back. Jambavan simply became a servant of Ramachandra, and in that process got the association of Ramachandra and Krishna and handed over his daughter to Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. Jambavati became Krishna's wife, isn't it? So that, and he had to fight with Krishna for that. Jambavan had to fight with Krishna inside the cave. They fought each other. And that gave the opportunity for Jambavan to go back. So three, Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan from Ramayana. Three best examples. Then, next one, who? Gajendra. We have studied in the 8th canto. Gajendra's glory. Gajendra was previously Indradyumna. In that he had the association of Agastya Maharshi, but had to accept this body of Gajendra. But even then, the association with Agastya Maharshi followed him, and he got the association with Krishna directly. And the remembrance of his past life, remembrance of the past prayers, what he has done, all that thing came out. Some prarabdham there to finish. He finished in this elephant's body and he went back to the spiritual world. Gajendra. So it's an animal. Then Jadayu. Jadayu is a bird, isn't it? Jadayu is a bird. In the Ramayana, well-known story. Jadayu, what service he did to Ramachandra and Sita Devi, and with the result, Jadayu went back to the spiritual world. Then Tuladharan. Tuladharan is also called Dharmavyadha. That story I have mentioned before, that Dharmavyadha was a butcher. Dharmavyadha was a butcher in Benares. You will see that discussion between Dharmavyadha and Jajali. Jajali, the Brahmana who came to him, Kaushiki Gotra Brahmana, who had come to him, and there was a discussion between Jajali and Dharmavyadha. Dharmavyadha was a butcher by profession. He slaughtered animals, he cut them and sold them. That was his job. But he was a realized soul, liberated soul. So he attained that position due to association with the great sage. So what stage life can change, how life can change, is very unpredictable in life, very unpredictable. But what Krishna is saying here is that Sadhu Sangam, association, will never go waste. It will never be wasted. And Dharmavyada's case, if you remember, that Dharmavyada has become a jnani, fully realized a soul, whilst he was still executing his profession, professional activity. He was doing that. So you can see that, irrespective of what they did, irrespective of where they were born, irrespective of what shastram they have studied or not, they all went back to the spiritual world. Again, the power of satsangam, association. Then Krishna gives the example of Kubja. Kubja, if you remember, the personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, Sairantri. She is also known as Trivakra. She had three bends in her body. Isn't it? Whose association? Krishna's association. Simply by Kubja smiled at Krishna, Krishna appreciated Kubja's service, a little service what she did for Krishna. And Krishna straightened her body, not only that, told her, you also go back to the spiritual world. Has Kubja chanted 16 rounds every day? Has Kubja even never got up for Mangalaridhi even once? As far as the Shastram is saying, that is Kubja's record. Kubja doesn't seem to have fasted one Ekadashi. Kubja hasn't done anything in the Shastram to prove that she has executed anything for spiritual sake. But only by association, she went back to the spiritual world. And above all, Krishna gives the finest example of who? The gopis. The gopis. Gopis is the most interesting in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Gopis have not done anything specifically as a sadhana or a anushtanam. All that they did was they loved Krishna. They got attracted to Krishna and that developed into association with Krishna. And simply by that association, gopis were liberated. And Krishna is never unable to forget gopis. So he keeps talking about them again after this. That looking at gopis, Krishna himself is amazed that they went back to the spiritual world. They haven't done anything except that they wholeheartedly associated with Krishna. And their association with Krishna has affected Krishna so much that Krishna keeps repeating that again and again afterwards. So again, Krishna talks about who else? Yajnavatni. If you remember, the Vipravatni, the wives of the Brahmanas, who came to Krishna, who never got an opportunity to associate with Krishna before, because they were meant to. They were the wives of the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas were very busy in performing sacrifices. And the women's job was to sit in the kitchen and inhale all the smoke and cook all what they wanted and send it for the sacrifice. That's what they were doing all the time. So that was their duty. They had no opportunity to do anything on a spiritual level. They were simply absorbed in this sacrifice day after day. But when Krishna decided to give them association, he came to the forest that day and artificially created hunger everyone felt hungry that day. All the cowherd boys, Balaram, Radharani, Krishna, everyone felt hungry. And Krishna told the cowherd boys to go and ask them for the food. So that was Krishna's mercy for the Yajnavatnis, Vipravatnis, or the wives of these Brahmanas. They got an opportunity to cook first-class prasadam, bring it here and offer it to Krishna. Krishna says, you also go back to the spiritual world. What have they done? They never studied any shastram. They never performed any severe austerities or penances. They didn't even know many, many things. They heard through someone that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Balaram is his brother, and they have appeared in Mathura. They had the desire to see them, but they had no freedom to go and look for themselves. But Krishna, knowing very well their heart, decided to give this mercy to them. And through that, a lesson to us also, the importance of association. And then, about gopis, Krishna says, Tenadhi dashudagana, nobasita mahatama, avrada taptatavasa, salsanganma upagadaha. Krishna is never satisfied in talking about the gopis. He says, Tenadhi dashudagana, nobasita mahatama, avrada taptatavasa, salsanganma upagada, uddhava. If there is one thing in this world, I can only tell you that these gopis, the best example, he says, I have never seen them studying any shastram in my life. Never touched Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or anything like that. Never touched anything. And I never seen them even fasting, he says, any serious fasting. They were always very fond of eating nice prasadam. And I never seen them executing any kind of penances either. They were just ordinary people who lived in Vrindavanam. Ordinary people who sold butter, ghee, milk and things like that and made a living and ordinary life, how ordinary people live. They lived like that. They didn't know anything else. Nothing else they knew. Simple, very simple village people. So Krishna is saying here, Tenadhina Shudigana. They never heard about Shruti. If you tell them what, they will ask you, what is Shruti means, they will say. no basida mahatamah. They never executed any severe penances, austerities or anything like that in their life. No basida mahatamah. And also, they have not particularly served any great mahatmas either. Great sages and all never went to them any time. They never had to go to them first because they didn't take them very seriously. None of the gopis had any association with the great sages either. Nova Sita Mahatama Avrata Tapta Tapasam. Neither any fasting or austerities, tapas, they have executed. But Krishna is saying, Salsangama Upagadaha. That, look at Uddhava, the power of satsangam. Krishna says, when Krishna talks about bhakti, Krishna becomes very emotional. Emotional in the sense that he feels that why not the human society don't take advantage of this human body. And even in that human body, Krishna says that this special process of satsangam, association, why don't they take advantage of? They go and associate with all kinds of things, but they won't associate with devotees. They won't associate with me. So Krishna is virtually telling us that I have given you the easiest process. I have given you the best process. And free from all kinds of stress, like we do in spiritual life. We have a lot of stress in spiritual life, isn't it? Because of all our commitments. Association is free from all that. Simply by hearing about Krishna. So in this way, Krishna has kept on stressing of this process of association. It's a big topic. It requires a lot of time to explain this chapter. Because of its importance, because association is such an important thing, how to associate, what level to associate with, what happens in association, all these things to be discussed. And Krishna is pointing out to us, at least if we understand that association is an important thing, that itself is a big success. Because it is through association, Krishna says, all these people have reached perfection in their spiritual life. And all the examples you can see, they were all coming from very difficult situations. Different species they came from, different bodies they had, no opportunity for hearing Shastram. They were not elevated brahmanas who have studied Vedas from the beginning and didn't have the purity inside. In spite of all that, they all went back to the spiritual world. That is the importance of association. So this chapter 12 is particularly important, and we have to go through it a little bit more in depth, because through association, what can happen? How it can change our life and how important it is. All that we will see next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss Bhagavad Gita tomorrow morning.